Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. All right, you guys ready? I've got a message for you today. It's called Holy Spirit Activate. Holy Spirit Activate, right? Holy Spirit Activate. How many of you guys have seen that meme? It's hilarious, right? But there's some truth behind it. Okay, so Matthew 3:11. Let's just jump right into the word. As for me, this is John the Baptist speaking. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay? Come on, somebody, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Holy Spirit fire. Lord, thank you that it's available. Thank you that your people are not being destroyed from a lack of knowledge of knowing the power of your Holy Spirit and all that you've given them. Lord, we are going to make people aware of what your word says today about the Holy Spirit, and we are going to choose today whom we will serve. We're going to walk in the power of the anointing of your presence, God, and in your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, guys, many of you may be visiting for the first time. I've been a Christian for 34, 35 years, 1988, I do the math. 34 years, probably, something like that. But you know what? 35, yeah. I've been through it all, man. I was there in the Hosanna Integrity days. Man, we had the tambourines, we had the flags. My wife danced on the dance team and twirled everything. So my friend Teresa actually loaned me the Holy Spirit banner, man. We're bringing back old school. Some of you are like, wow, man, that is straight up old school. But this flame is going to live in your lives today, okay? I needed Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about Pentecost, okay? Today is Pentecost, and that is the day that everything changed. Somebody say everything. Yeah, so let's look at Pentecost for a minute. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, okay? They were just disciples back then, and all the followers of Jesus were hanging around in Jerusalem, and they were celebrating the Feast of Weeks, okay? So we've been in the Feast of Weeks, and this is an important event in the Christian faith. It's described in the Acts of the Apostles, okay? But how did Pentecost originate? Okay, I think we've made a mistake sometimes and tied Pentecost in to that Holy Spirit moment, but that Pentecost was going on for centuries, and it had been a celebration all the time that they would do every year, and so I want to talk a little bit about that. How many of you guys have ever watched The Chosen? Right? You guys like The Chosen? It's been a good series. Who has not watched The Chosen? We just need to know who you are and go, where have you been? Where are you hiding? What is going on? We're in season 3. Come on, man. Get on board. But I love The Chosen because it actually helps you to tie in with culture. It helps you to pull into the history of Jewish history. And I just love it because it really paints a great picture of Jewish culture and how Jesus really truly was when he lived. So Pentecost comes from a Jewish harvest festival called Shavuot. That's what Tammy was trying to say. Did I say it right? Shavuot? Shavuot? All right. Okay. It's not show a boat. It's Shavuot. Shavuot. Okay. I'm working on this. Shavuot. Shavuot. There we go. Everybody say that one time. Shavuot. Okay. So this festival of Shavuot actually predates the giving of the Holy Spirit and the whole Pentecost thing. But I love the idea that while Jesus and the disciples and everybody would celebrate these festivals, that on that festival of harvest, God chose, you know, and first, you know, just giving, God gave in that festival to us the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you know, the apostles were celebrating this festival, and then the Holy Spirit descended on them. Say descended. Oh, man. I can imagine. It said it sounded like a very strong wind, and it looked like tongues of fire. And I'm like, man, I have no reference for that. Does anybody know what tongues of fire looks like? I've seen some videos that might have been close, but I want to see tongues of fire at Lighthouse Church. I want to see the power of God fall, and I want to see, you know, the anointing and the power of God hit this place so hard that people come in here and they're set free. And I believe that's coming, okay? So just last week, I think my daughter Jenna was standing here. Nick was over here, right, Nick? And they were standing up here, and we had all the altar open, and literally it was, they both started looking around like, is the air conditioning on or whatever? There was a wind that pushed through here last week. Some of you may have felt it. And then in the first service, a few people said they felt a little bit of wind. So I just want you to know this, the wind of the Holy Spirit is stirring in this place. Okay, some of you are like, well, I didn't feel anything. Press in a little more. Start to press in, and you're going to begin to see God's beginning to move, and we're seeing more and more testimonies. We're going to start videoing some testimonies, because it's so hard to sit here and tell you how many people are getting healed and how many people are coming to the altar, and their lives are changing. Things are happening. Pain is leaving. Situations are changing. Marriages are being healed. Things are happening around here. So it's exciting, but all of this is part of this Holy Spirit moment that God is wanting each of us to have. So what happened at Pentecost? Because here the disciples are. They've just gone through a roller coaster of emotions. They just saw Jesus literally brutally killed on a cross right in front of them, right? So Jesus has died in their eyesight. Right there. And then after that, he's raised from the dead. Now he's back alive again. And then now they're in they went from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs in that moment. And then, you know, it's just amazing. And then they saw him ascend into heaven. Jesus just shot up like a rocket, man. We understand that here in the Space Coast, right? It's like, hey, what is that? SpaceX? No, it's Jesus. That's what it looked like without the flame. But this is what Jesus said to them before he did his rocket shot. It says, they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit. Look here in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. You see, Jesus had a promise from the Father. The Father said, if you will go and you'll cleanse them, if you will pay the price for their sins, I'll fill them with my power again. I will fill them with my Holy Spirit, and I will change their entire worlds. And Jesus is like, I'm in. I'll do it. Then he said, you heard of from me. So for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So everybody said this, I will be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. So what did they have to do? They waited, right? So they said, the Holy Spirit is going to be given. And Jesus said, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, guess what he did? He showed up, right? In Acts 2, 1 through 5, right? It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Everybody say one accord. We got to work on that one accord thing, don't we? We're working on it, man. I'm telling you, the church is coming into unity, and the enemy's getting nervous about it. He's getting scared because I'm meeting with pastors, and we're all like, we're tired of fighting each other and making this a competition. We're the church, and we got to be the church. We got to step out of this whole competition thing and start moving with the power of the Holy Spirit and seeing our communities changed and transformed. So suddenly it says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them dividing tongues as of fire, and one sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, the tongues thing is, it's a really crazy situation. It's not normal, okay? I understand that. But you know what? This is God's plan that I'm showing you in Scripture for you, okay? So it wasn't like they all just sat there in the upper room going, well, you know, No, God had it. If God's handing out rocks, don't you want one? I don't care. So we've got to get past this whole lie thing that the enemy is using, that, oh, tongues are of the devil. I've heard that. I've had to fight that battle, you know. Oh, that was just for the apostles in the old days. You know, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, God's whole intention of you actually being set free by Jesus and cleansed and made the righteousness of God was for the purpose of putting His Spirit in you. And when His Holy Spirit was put back in you, now you've got power. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power to what? Be a witness. Power to go out and live your life for God on fire. On fire, you know, Acts. We need Holy Spirit fire in our lives. We need to get out of our little complacent little cubby holes, and we need to get out into the community filled with the fire of God and start preaching the gospel to those in the world, because they need to hear it. Look around. They need it bad, right? They need it. So let's look at some quotes from some famous people. First one's a guy, his name's Mark Hart. He wasn't famous to me, but he's supposedly famous. But I loved his quote, okay? It says this, Pentecost is a celebration of God, a celebration of God's power, and a celebration of God's desire to empower us and to dwell within us. Come on. So what is Pentecost? Why? What is it all about? What is this Holy Spirit thing all about? It's about the power of God wanting to come in and dwell inside of you. Let's look at Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of him? Smith Wigglesworth, you know what he's famous for? He had a baby that was handed to him that was dead, and he literally drop kicked it across the room, and then it was alive. For real, I read it in his book. For real, it really happened. I know, but it's just crazy, isn't it? Oh, the baby had a tumor, he wasn't dead? Okay, well, close. He was heading for dead. But here's his quote. Thank you, though, Aaron, you're good. I know she knows, too. I'm just the mouth, you know. I say it, and then I sometimes have to go, oh, hold on, retract. Pentecost came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, a violent blast from heaven. Heaven was not exhausted in its blast, but our danger is that we are getting frightened of them. So what are you afraid of when I say tongues? You're like, ooh. It's almost like when you say Mufasa. Yeah. It's like, tongues, ooh, Mufasa, ooh. It's not as scary as the enemy's making it in your life. I've been speaking in tongues for 35 years. It's one of the first things that happened to me. I'm going to share that. So the last one is, second to last one is Charles Spurgeon. Anybody ever heard of him? So we're going to let Spurgeon be the surgeon here for a minute. My brethren, do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Anybody here? Brethren? Sistren? Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Have we such a reliance upon the Holy Ghost? Do we believe that at this moment he can clothe us with power, even as he did the apostles at Pentecost? And do we believe that under our preaching, by his energy or power, 1,000 might be born in a day? You want to see people get saved around you? You need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's where the fire comes from. That's where the anointing comes from. And I'm going to show you that even Jesus went through this process. Okay, so let's look at this final quote. It's unknown. Bethlehem was God with us, right? Jesus, God with us. Calvary was God for us. Pentecost is God in us, right? So we need to have that in us, because, you know, I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I didn't quite see the victory right away. I was trying to overcome addiction. I'd made a surrender. I'd given my life to Jesus, but I was fighting it, man. I was like still, you know, puffing and huffing and all whatever, trying to blow the house down or whatever you want to say. But I couldn't get that breakthrough. I just couldn't get past some of those things. And I came back home because I moved away to get away from drugs in my life, okay? So I figured I'll move out of town, go live with my dad. And funny, there was still stuff there when I arrived. And I found it really quick, okay? So then I moved back home, and then I'm going to the draft house to hang out and just party a little bit. And there was a guy standing out in front of there that I went to school with. And, you know, he said, "Hey, God told me to come here and stand. He was going to bring somebody that I was supposed to talk to, you know." And I knew him from high school. We actually played on the same soccer team as kids and all that. And when he saw it was me, he's like, "No, God, not him." You know, I know I've told that part of the story before in church, but, you know, he literally said, "Hey, come to my house." He started to talk to me about, "Hey, there's this thing at our church. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, and if you pray this prayer and then you can speak in tongues." I'm like, "What is that?" He's like, "I don't know, but we do it at our church. You know, that's all I know. Just, you should try it." I'm like, "Okay, why not? I have nothing better to do. I mean, I got nothing to lose." I didn't have any preconceived religious ideas about it, which is some of our biggest problems, right? And so I just prayed this simple prayer of faith with him. And man, would you believe that the power of God hit me so hard, like a lightning bolt in his living room. It knocked me to the ground. I began to shake violently, and I felt demons leave my body. Okay? Through one simple prayer and through just receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was instantly delivered from alcohol, drugs. I mean, literally dealing drugs on Friday at the work job site. Came back Monday with a cross on my hard hat. "No, man, you need Jesus, dude. You don't need that." Friday to Monday. That's how powerful of a transformation happened in my life in 1988. I'm still going. Still lit. Fire's burning, man. We need the activation that I got that day. Each one of us need that. It's part of the process of becoming a Christian. It's not enough to just say, "Jesus, I accept you into my life." You know, there's more than that God has for us. He has activations. He's got spiritual giftings. He's got fruits of the Spirit that we're going to begin to explore and look at. But I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it changed my whole world. Okay? Jesus took care of the sin problem in our life for the very purpose that God could put his Spirit in us. You see, if God was to put the Holy Spirit in you and you weren't cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you would die. But see, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you have been made holy. Even though you're not holy, you have been made holy. Why? So God could put his presence and his power and his Spirit back inside you, so that you could live your life with victory, so that you could walk a life that God has intended for you with power, with authority, with the ability to take possession of this world once again, where the enemy has stolen it from us. It's our job now to take it back. You were spiritually dead, but now you've been made alive. It's right here in Ephesians 2. "And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the course of the world." That was me. according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. I was one of those sons. Among them, we too all previously lived in lust of the flesh, me, indulging in the desires of the flesh, me, and the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, just as the rest. But God. Come on, you ready? But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, from which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Why would Jesus do all of that? Because he had a promise from the Father that if he would make us whole, he would cleanse us, that the Father would send the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I have to go. I've got to go back. I've got to leave this place because there's one coming that he'll come in and live in you, and he'll be your teacher. He'll be your helper. He'll be your comforter. His name's Holy Spirit. He's the third part of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, do you know he grieves? He's able to grieve. He knows things. He's eternal. He encourages. He gives understanding to us. He gives peace. He's got all these attributes. He comforts, he directs, and he can be prayed to. You can have a relationship with him. You can talk to him. You can get to know him. He is God living inside you. You know he's going to work in you till you die to make you better. Until the day you give your last breath, the Holy Spirit has been given to you, and he is going to do everything within his power to help you grow, help you know God better, help you to understand this word and how God's kingdom works. He is relentless. He will not give up. So we have to rely on him every day. Every day. So where is the Holy Spirit? You know, a lot of times I remember Jesse Duplantis, I watched a video of him, and he's like, yeah, I asked one of the dumbest questions in the world when I went to heaven. He had a visitation. He got to go to heaven, and he's up there, and he's like, so, hey, where's the Holy Spirit? Everyone just kind of looked at him like, really? He's on the earth. It's where he is. He's here with us. He's been placed here. You know, God's Spirit is roaming in the earth realm, looking for those who will accept him, who will receive him, who will partner with him to win this world for the Lord. He's our helper, John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's also the teacher, will teach you all things and remind you of all that he has said to you. What do you need to know? He'll teach you. But have you asked him? Have you invited him in? Have you been baptized in his power? Have you surrendered your life and said, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to teach me today? What is it that you're battling in your life? He's got the way out. He's got the solution. Financial difficulties, let me show you how to get out of that. You got sickness in your body, let me show you how to speak over your body, life. If you're, you know, I think me and my wife were talking about this week, if you are asking God to heal you of your sicknesses, you're praying wrong. Because Jesus already healed you of your sicknesses. You've got to go at it from the perspective of God has given me the authority to speak life over my body and over my situations, over my mental health, over my sicknesses, over any cancer. What is it? Start to talk to it. Start to speak life over yourself. Quit asking God to do something that he already did. He's waiting for you to step into the power that he's given you. Step in. You know, if you desire it, the Holy Spirit will come on your life. If you desire it. See, there's the breakdown. Where's your desire level? Where are you hiding at? What are you saying? You know, and some of you are like, I've never even heard this before. All right, well, now you have. Get busy, right? Let's get busy. Let's do this. Let's live our lives for the King. We're his, you know, people. We're his ambassadors. Ephesians 5:18 says, and don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? Spirit. So let's get filled. You guys ready to get filled? So let's look at the example that Jesus set. All right? You guys are like, well, you know, this sounds a little... Jesus went through the exact same process that I am describing to each of you today in his life. And he was God. He didn't need to do any of it. But as a man, he went through the process so that he could show each one of us what it is that he had for us to do. Okay? And then we'll go have cake. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, signifying to us our need to be born of the Spirit. You know, Nicodemus went to Jesus, he said,
hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.